This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
In 5 years, I think Matt Shaw is going to be better than PCA.
See, that is the question I wanted to ask Dustin.
Well, my prediction is going to be PCA, Pete Crow Armstrong. So a Cubs outfielder will be the biggest star in Chicago by the year 2028.
He's the one. Yeah. That of all these prospects, this pool of talent that we've been waiting for as Cub fans, when they mature, develop, and achieve, Matt Shaw is going to be the brightest star.
He's got to this place very quickly, and that means some really good things have happened, right?
What about Owen Casey?
Matt Shaw.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
PCA.
Matt Shaw.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. You wake up this morning, it's the first day of spring. You wanna kiss the flowers and hug the grass and release all the beautiful birds, sing to them. And what the heck's going on?
Forget that. Get the shovel.
What is going on?
Spread the salt.
It's the first day of spring.
It's winter.
When do the Sox open?
It's the last day of winter, and it's going out with a vengeance. A week from today, you'll be at the rate watching the White Sox against the Los Angeles Angels shiver through another nine innings.
It was spring at 4:01 this morning.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I guess you're right. I was thinking it was a day later.
It's
but
okay.
It doesn't matter. Spring comes in. Look out the window. Walk to your car. It's not spring outside. It's nasty.
It is ridiculous. Like yesterday, all of a sudden,
boom.
Thunder turning to lightning.
There's going to
be
in Chicago.
Rain that turns into giant canned hams.
Well, it's
falling
a good thing that
hurricanes.
This is going to be the least productive workday of the calendar year.
Was there an earthquake predicted or a thunder? What, something?
Know. No,
not a thunderstorm. A hurricane? What? There was going to be a shark?
Nobody's working today anyway. Nobody's getting hit on the roads.
Why?
Everyone stay at home.
For the tournament?
March Madness begins. Everyone stays home to watch. Yes.
I think you're
I'm what? You think some people?
I think you're living in the 1980s is
no,
what I think.
Some people are not going to be going to work today because of the tournament. Somebody will find an excuse.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, I'm working from home.
A lot of people working from home today, right? It's March Madness. Although the tournament began two nights ago and continued with a lot of excitement last night, Xavier is going to be a problem for Illinois. They beat
Xavier
Texas.
Was good. Xavier was good.
Little March Madness rally.
They came back.
March is all about rallying and persevering.
That was a home game, though, as Dustin said. That's a home game for them.
It really doesn't matter. It's the way it goes.
It's just that you survive in advance.
Survive in advance. That's the idea. And there'll be a lot of people today trying to survive in advance, and a lot of people maybe staying at home to watch that beginning, you know, late this morning and going into late tonight.
We talked about this a little bit off the air. Illinois is one of the most difficult teams to figure in the entire tournament.
Why do you think that is?
I think it's because they had seven different lineups since whatever it was, January 5th.
The illness, the injury?
I guess that's it. But I just don't know what their best team is.
The one with Jakeshonis.
Yeah.
Running the show.
Okay. But yep. I'm just saying.
The teenage Lithuanian.
They could be.
He is the like real deal.
They could be a team that has a really deep run, or they could be out of this thing.
Isn't that like half the field?
No. I think there's a lot of teams you feel, okay, well, you know they're going to be here. They'll do this. But I just feel like it's not half the field. But I feel
all
like.
Right. That's exaggerating.
The Illini are.
10 teams.
All the teams I looked at. That they are the one that is most difficult for me to predict, maybe because I've seen them too much.
But are you feeling very good about your Final Four now, better than you did on Monday?
I feel fine about my Final Four. I kind of went over it again yesterday. I was going to make some changes, and I opted not to.
I thought you were saying make some bets.
No, I was going to change some of my picks, but then as I went over it again, I kind of liked
what Did you enter a bracket?
To do.
Like a pool?
I did not enter a pool.
We have one of those things here.
Do we have a pool here?
We did not do that.
I don't believe
it. I am not aware of one, if there is.
Yeah. I entered one over CHSN.
We had that survivor pool. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was fun.
Somebody's family always won it. Not saying the fix was in, but it was fun to be invited.
I'm looking forward to today. It's always like the beginning of a day in a tournament, you don't know what's quite going to happen.
Your picks like 15 minutes after Selection Sunday.
That's the best time to make them.
Nah.
You sit down, you instinctively look at them, you're guided by history.
Last thing I want is my instinct, because I'll wind up with a bunch of teams from the 80s like someone I know.
Like me?
You were so
Why
proud.
Am I stuck in the
it's
80s?
It's a nostalgia. Oh, look, I've got a nostalgia bracket.
I've got Michigan State.
Famous last words.
Michigan State, Duke, and Patino in my Final Four. The only time I let modern day results outrule or outshout nostalgia was Tennessee. Yeah. I could not find a good enough reason to pick Purdue there.
How many brackets do you – you said you did one for CHSN.
I did one.
So you submitted the same one.
One. Boom.
One for you too, Mully?
I ended up
– That means seven.
I ended up with one. But I didn't really – I mean, I kind of – I used it as a framework. I kind of liked – as I told you, I liked Florida about a week or 10 days before – that bloody conference started, and then by the time it was over, everybody liked Florida. So I tried to talk myself out of it, and then I thought, "Yeah,
that's really bugging me too." All the Florida love. How many do you fill out, Brandon?
I got two.
All right,
two. Like one for this, yeah. And then I have one for like friends and family.
What was the Ken Paxton used to do? A Catholic League square. You know,
he would just. I know what you're talking about.
He would just take any Catholic school to win over anybody. It was hilarious. He always ended up with pretty good Final Four. Like Xavier, for instance, might win some games here.
Xavier could win. They could make it one and done for Illinois tomorrow night.
Yeah,
they could really.
By his rule, they would have to. He always took the Catholic school. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I just
but
go
back in the day,
with
Georgetown used to win. I mean, there were like good Catholic school teams.
Yeah,
St. John's.
I wouldn't pick my bracket that way, but I think you're right.
It was more of a snorts and giggles type thing.
You change your Final Four, Brandon, between the two brackets?
I kept it the same. I got Michigan, and then I have St. John's. I got Duke, and then I got Tennessee.
You know what, Duke? You mentioned Duke, and we were talking about this before the show. I'm in a very – I think a lot of people in Chicago – I don't want to speak for everyone. I'll speak for myself. I am kind of low-key rooting for Duke because the John Shire story, when you think about what he could do this soon after succeeding Coach K, and I know there's a lot of Duke – people just instinctively, Duke – they're always there.
Yeah.
If John Shire could win a national championship, I would be so happy for him as a person because of the kind of guy that he is. And he was a terrific, legendary figure in the state of Illinois.
Great high school
as a player. His NBA aspirations were interrupted because of a freak accident poked in the eye, and he couldn't play. And you know what? He maintained being the nicest guy in coaching, and he has this opportunity, taking advantage of it, and it would be very easy to get behind Duke because of John Shire.
Local guy made good.
Yeah.
He could even make Duke seem like an attractive team.
That's what I was trying to say.
I'm saying there's a lot of people that don't like Duke all the way around.
Can we listen to this Pat Beverly podcast?
Coach K was a lovely man.
He was.
Chicago's
very own. And that's very interesting that he passes the baton, the torch, to John Shire. Patrick Beverly, also a Chicago guy, made good. And he's also a very quotable Chicago guy, made good. And he was on a podcast talking about what John Shire was like in high school.
Mind you, if anyone doesn't know John Shire, he played at Glenbrook North. When I say Roan, he never ducked any smoke from any athlete in Chicago. He never ducked any smoke. If you're from the west side of Chicago, your high school is in the hood, I'm on my way, I'm coming, I'm playing. If you are high ranked, ranked closer to me, it's okay, I'm coming to play. Any Christmas tournament, Proviso West, John Shire, yeah, the coach at Duke, I'm on my way, I'm playing. I don't give a who y'all think y'all is. They call him the White Mike. He was so cold. It was in the projects. Walk into his games, Ron. You don't hear what I'm saying. Walk into his games at Proviso West. He had a stardom that no other kid had in Chicago. And his school wasn't even in Chicago. They were in Glenbrook North. He won national championship. I got a chance for me and him to actually be on the same team. Mind you, when we played in high school, he was Mr. Illinois. Now we're in a Miami Heat together. We're trying to make it. We're in the summer league together. We're on the same court together. I think someone throws an outlet. A guy reaches in by the name of Joe Ingles, pokes him in the eye. Legally blind.
Damn.
Can never play basketball again. Had to get on a helicopter off to another hospital just to fix his eye.
Wow. Wow.
That's wild. P-Bev, huh?
P-Bev, who played at Marshall, obviously. We know his path and his course, and he respect remains for the That's legend incredible. That John Shire was. 3,034 points as a high school basketball player in the state of Illinois.
He was phenomenal.
And now he's got a chance to win a national championship. Cooper Flagg is the center of a lot of people's attention. And it's fine. I find it easy to root for Duke only because of John Shire.
That is true, by the way, too. They did call him White Mike, and he did not duck any smoke. He came to my old neighborhood, and he played against us, and, I mean, he was balling. He's not afraid.
Describe what that means. He came to your old neighborhood, like in a sanctioned game or just playing in
I mean, at the time, my old neighborhood is in Roseland. So, I mean, the fact that he was from the suburbs, came all the way out there to come to the south side of the city to play just in a pickup game against some guys. And, I mean, he was dominated. And they was like, this is outside we were playing.
Is this your polite way of saying you couldn't stop him?
I mean, look, I wasn't guarding him, so I didn't have to worry about it. So I didn't have to worry about that. Somebody else, they had a tough time with him, and he is not afraid.
Fearless.
Good for him.
Fearless. That had to be fun, though. Remembering that and seeing him show up and then go off to Duke and have that kind of career. He was a great college player.
Yeah, you said that. I mean,
won a national title.
I remember him as a phenomenal, and I mean a phenomenal high school player. I don't remember his career at Duke as much. Now, maybe I wasn't interested in Duke. I think the times that I looked in, he was never, you know, Coach K operated, like the star system was in place, and you become the featured player until your senior year with the way he operated. There were some guys that broke that rule, but for the most part, there was sort of this
Well, he was rare in that he was a four-year college player.
I know.
You didn't see very many people like that anymore.
But
and at the same school. See, nowadays, if you have a four-year college player, it's like their third stop.
Right.
And they've been two NIL deals later.
He was a great, like really one of the best high school players.
So, yeah, Duke plays today. I think they play today. The tournament begins in earnest today. Looking forward to talking to Porter Moser at 8 o'clock. That'll be a nice trip down memory lane.
Duke on Friday.
Yeah. Like Illinois Friday night.
And Porter's got his work cut out for him.
Yes, he does.
They got the three-peat.
UConn.
Yeah.
Best coach in America.
Just ask him.
Exactly.
That's right.
That's funny. How?
It's so true. But he's a quirky cat, that guy. He's
Danny Hurley?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Kind He'll have his team ready.
He's a strange agent.
I don't think it's a good pick for or a draw for Oklahoma.
No.
Oklahoma started the season 13-0, and then they ran into some problems.
Right.
And they kind of snuck in. They were one of the last four added, I believe.
They had a big game against Georgia down the stretch.
And we'll get to Porter, obviously, see what he has to say. But how typical of college basketball, Porter Moser comes into the season, and even in the last month after they lost to LSU, he's on the hot seat.
Right.
He had to get in before he would hear calls for his job on the hot seat in Oklahoma. Now that they got in, now he's a hot candidate again.
Yeah.
Villanova.
He's been mentioned for that.
Been linked to
you
Porter
Moser.
You know
who mentioned him was Jay Wright.
Yes.
That's pretty wild.
Jay Wright.
Yeah.
Who would know something about what Villanova's looking for.
Likes him as
still
a coach.
Trying to replace him.
Right.
I think Porter would be an interesting fit there. I'm not sure if he would dress as well as Jay Wright, but he'd be close. He'd
give him the name of his tailor.
They look about the same size.
All those suits were tailored.
Maybe some old suits. They look about the same size.
He's not giving him some old suits.
He could probably afford some new stuff. Yeah, I think Oklahoma's paying him handsomely.
Do coaches actually wear suits anymore on the sidelines?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I wish they did. I know the head coach of Wisconsin wears a proper jacket and tie and coaches his team like an adult.
Greg Gard.
I know the Drake coach wears a tie because all the kids in the stands.
Oh, copy him like
copy
that.
Him.
That's cool.
It's really cool.
Go Drake. Sorry, Biggs.
Yeah, yeah. He has like a white shirt and a blue tie on, and it's so funny because all the student body is wearing that outfit.
Did you say sorry, Biggs? Because Drake's going to beat Mizzou today.
Possibly.
Whatever. I think you're right. I think it was one of my upsets in one of my brackets. My only bracket.
In one of my brackets. The truth is
one
revealed.
One sheet of integrity.
Yeah, I'm with you. Thank you. Yeah, we agree on that, Dustin. We agree on that. Excellent.
I mean,
it's entered in.
Multiple sheets and you're gambling on something, why would you be a fool not to second guess yourself?
What happens if you have one sheet, but you submitted in like different groups? That's still the same. Like I have two sheets, but it's kind of the same. Pretty.
I
much
have
same.
One sheet entered into two bracket contests.
Same picks.
Why do you switch the sheets based on whoever you're entering? I'm just curious. You said you had one with family. Are you trying not to beat them, or do you think you want to upset them more versus the other one?
Well, I have my sons in it too, so we had the hard copy paper, so that's why I just rewrote the same thing for them to submit. So technically,
that.
it's two sheets, but it's the same.
That's good. That's a good dad.
I was with my daughter called me last night. She's getting into the NCAAs, and she wanted me to give her my picks, and I was like cautioning her. Well, you know, here's what I'm thinking. Because of this, I ended up going like this, but it's an unconventional idea. And she was like, she was literally like, you just give me the ticket.
Right. Well,
like she didn't not.
I was just going to say,
care.
Was she sorry that she reached you?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
She
so,
could care
man.
Less of what my thinking
so,
on it.
So now your daughter can relate to us on Monday morning.
Oh, really?
Just give us your picks.
Oh, man.
You weren't ready. You're never ready. You'll change it five times before 11 o'clock.
No, I feel pretty comfortable.
So her four or your four?
Her four or my four.
See, that's great. That's good. That's good, Dad.
Yeah.
By the way, too.
That's funny.
If you want to keep it local, I know everybody's probably rooting for Illinois and you want them to go far. But and then you got John Shire, obviously. Some other connections. I was just telling Dustin this. Maryland's a team that has Angel Reese's brother on the team, Julian Reese,
right
really?
On that team. Yes, and then also Michigan.
He hit the three.
And he's a good player.
He's good. He averages like 13 points. He's like their third or fourth leading scorer.
He doesn't rebound his own misses.
How many rebounds does he average?
His stats.
Does he have a cheat?
Wait a minute.
Does he
not
practicing
off.
The mic and drill?
Does he
during
have
a game?
Quarter pounder named after him? All right, Michael. Is it Michael Reese, like the hospital?
Julian Reese.
Oh, Julian Reese. Okay.
Julian Reese is one.
But
so
call him Michael Reese. What the hell?
You call him that at this point.
Because the hospital will help you remember.
Also, Scottie Pippen's son is on Michigan as well. He don't play as much. He's a freshman. So
seriously?
That's another one. Yeah. Local connections right there for you.
Wow.
There you go. Look at that.
We got to find some more.
Oh, there's tons.
Does Sun Times still do that? They have enough people still to put that together?
Potsy used to do it. I don't know.
Anybody left? Yikes. That's sad.
Oh,
we don't
boy,
want to digress.
You taking gratuitous shots.
That's not a gratuitous shot. That's not a gratuitous shot at all.
If only you had that fire in your belly.
I have communicated with Mark Potash, and I feel terrible about the fact that he's no longer going to be covering the Bears or working at the Sun-Times. That's a huge loss for sports fans in Chicago. He did a terrific job.
Yeah, Potsy, great guy.
Rick Morrissey, great column. Get the Sun-Times this morning. Rick Morrissey says a farewell in his final column. And that's going to be a huge void that you just can't fill. Rick Tellender.
Tellender's leaving.
Daryl Van Scowen. It's very difficult up, right? to see he's what's got, happening to our industry.
I think tomorrow is Daryl's last day.
Yeah, it is.
Are they going to cover?
Yes, they are. Yeah. I did hear they are. There's a new a new man in town.
Kyle Williams, I think. Mm-hmm. Kyle Williams is going to cover the Sox, reportedly.
He's a Northwestern guy, right?
I'm not sure.
Thought I heard that.
We don't.
I heard the afternoon show talking
not
about
quite
it.
Sure.
He's currently in school.
No. He's a grad. Meow. Cats.
What the hell? It's very cats. It's tough to watch. It's tough to see.
It's really tough if you work there. All these people I worked with, Richard Roper.
Yeah, Richard Roper.
Sometimes that's hard to
yesterday.
Believe.
Yeah. Difficult times. I was not taking a shot. I was just.
Those were
kidding.
A lot of people that you know stayed through some tough times.
Mm-hmm. And
better men than me.
That's not a shot. No, you do what you got to do, and everyone's in their own makes their own decisions. But I think that these are decisions that are unfortunately unavoidable because of the financial situation with WBEZ and the whole newspapers, collaboration that doesn't seem to have worked, and newspaper decline, all those things. Dustin, though, by the way, we're going to segue to Cubs because I want to ask you a question. You mentioned about coaches wearing suits on the sideline.
Yeah.
Did you have a problem with what Craig Counsell was wearing yesterday? Was that something?
Of course.
Well, explain that to me, because somebody mentioned that to me. I did not know exactly what they were referring to. Might have been Robbie Triano, who said, you should ask Dustin.
Who I sat next to for a good part of that
game. He said,
First, I had a beef about the fact that they were the home team, and then they were in the Grays, and it's all about merch and yada, yada, yada. But then Counsell had on his short sleeve hoodie with a long sleeve, but this is the best part, with like a long sleeve, like, I don't know what David, what would you refer to, like those, the
a
shirts that if you're like a runner, like a layering,
a base layer.
Base layer, right. A base layer top with then a short sleeve hoodie over that.
Yeah, that's comfortable. That's comfortable.
Put the long sleeve hoodie on. I mean, what are we doing?
No, well, I think about, what you're looking for
is a proper uniform. On Tuesday, he wore a proper uniform, meaning he wore the pants and the jersey tucked in. I don't think stirrups. I can get away. You know what I don't like though? What I don't get is why would you put like a stirrup underneath your shoe to have your pants basically going to the bottom of your cleats?
These are complicated questions.
But why wouldn't you, if you did that on Tuesday,
police.
I know you're like Mully's daughter now. You're sorry you asked.
I am sorry I asked.
He should have had the gray top on with the gray bottoms tucked in like a proper, instead of wearing, you know, the workout outfit. And again, what is with a short sleeve hoodie? Doesn't make any sense.
If your belief is that you want Craig Counsell to make the smartest decisions possible, you want him to be as comfortable as he can be. If he likes wearing the long sleeve kind of biker shirt while cycling shirt, and then you put a hoodie over it and he's comfortable, you want his brain to function.
Well, then why did Matt Shaw make the final out of the game and Gabe Workman didn't use the bat?
Well, Matt Shaw, I had a bigger problem with maybe Matt Shaw where he was in the batting order, but that doesn't have anything to do with what he was wearing.
Got his first hit.
You just said that it was all about him being comfortable to make the right decisions. Clearly, he didn't make the right decisions.
Yeah, well, it wasn't, but you, I'm not linking those two things. He made the right, he was comfortable, he can make the right decisions in his world. I can still disagree with them. No.
What do you think he's going to wear a week from today?
I think today, a week from today, an opening day, he will wear the Cubs road uniforms.
Proper uniform?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because opening day, you get introduced. You have to run out. And then he'll probably, and the first inning, he'll go back into the clubhouse and switch into his
short sleeve hoodie?
Cycling shirt, royal blue, put on his short sleeve hoodie. Did anybody care about what Bill Belichick wore on the sidelines as long as they won?
Yeah, certain people did. I'm related to one. Oh, Dad would always complain about that sweatshirt.
Well, that explains
a
lot.
He looks like a homeless person. He's like, he can't afford sleeves. Why does he have the neck cut out and the sleeves, you know, like the three-quarter sleeve?
Wow. Yes, I'm sorry I asked.
Yeah,
You asked, I answered.
I know. I appreciate the complete answer.
You knew what was coming.
Oh, I kind of did, but...
You asked just so you would be told.
But
you realize that. So it's very difficult to complain about
home
what
he said. Home team wearing road grays. Makes all the sense in the world.
Well,
does it ever make all the sense in the world? So it's tough.
They're playing a home game in Tokyo. The convention's already out the window, so whatever they wear, it's just a marketing... It's a marketing exercise. I had no problem with that. Anyway, Cubs, are they back yet? I think they've landed.
Yeah, I do believe they've landed.
Did you use flytoware.com? Can we check?
We haven't heard yet from them. They're still maintaining their code of silence.
Well, they're probably back in Phoenix. The Bulls were in Phoenix. They lost to the Suns last night. They made a nice, valiant effort at the end, but mm-hmm. to no avail. Mm-hmm. Josh Giddey came back, played pretty well.
Yeah, Josh Giddey came back.
Had a pretty good game.
It's good to see.
Yeah.
He's been playing
pretty well. They play against the Kings tonight. Staying up for that one?
No.
Dustin?
I'm purposely not staying up for that one.
I hope to still be up watching NCAA tournament. I'll be honest. I'll flip around.
See, Zach LaVine, he's gonna do a heat check at the end of the first quarter. He'll probably have over-under on 25 points for Zach.
Friday's a getaway day, so you have no problem staying up till...
Well, no, I think Friday you can muscle through.
Muscle through. Answer the question.
It's like a Thursday night. I got to look on the app.
Briefly. Briefly. Answer the question. 25 points over under Zach
over,
LaVine.
No over. Over. Max, over. Max LaVine
no
will have over 25.
He's answering that briefly. 312-644-6767. We've got the pick six next. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
What are we doing?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did the Bears get it right by signing former two-time Pro Bowl returner Devin Duvernay to a one-year deal? Duvernay, 27, was great for 4 years with the Baltimore Ravens and only lasted a year down in Jacksonville with the Jaguars.
I think it's a good signing. I think that he is the better of the return guys that were out there. So the Bears brought in Mecole Hardman, and they brought in Rondale Moore, and Hardman signed in Green Bay, and Moore signed in Minnesota. So you knew those guys were going to be in the division, and you're kind of like, yeah, what? And then word broke that they had signed Devin Duvernay. So I think he was a good player. I think that, you know, he left as a free agent, and he was trying to chase more usage as much as more money when he went to Jacksonville, and that didn't work out for him, and there's a lot of change going on, so they've moved on from him, and it was only a two-year deal, but it's good that they got a guy and that maybe he can do more than that. I think he's a good return guy, and they did well to get him. It's a nice little one-year deal. There's not a lot of money at stake. It's good.
I agree. I think it's all about, can he do something other than that? Is he taking up a spot every Sunday or Thursday, or, you know, whenever they play, to do more than just one job? You would like that to be the case. But again, somebody that's been a two-time Pro Bowler, so arguably the best at what they do, why is that a bad thing? That only seems like a good thing.
Yeah, because he was also a Ravens draft pick, and you like Ravens draft picks. They have a good track record. Third rounder, he moves on to Jacksonville for a usage thing, I think. You're right. Now he comes to Chicago, and how does he fit in Ben Johnson's offense? That won't be his primary purpose, but I do think it will be an important one. You put him back there in punt returns, and now you have a guy that's able to be an asset in gaining some hidden yardage that you don't want to take for granted. The Bears are really doing a nice job of strategically addressing the specific needs on the special teams, not guys whose names are blockbuster with, you know, Travis Homer and Tavarius Moore, all these things that guys who are depth guys. This is probably a depth part of your special teams. It's an important part, though, because he can you know, be a threat, and you want that. If he's on the offense, that's a bonus. Also, just a shout out, it was last week we were talking about free agency in the second and third waves, and yep. Ruthie Polinsky, partner at the Big Pro Football Show, was in here for you, Mully, and she called this. She said it was going to happen. A week later, it happens.
That's good.
That was funny.
Bernstein and Harris.
It's a good question.
That's the voice of Chris Chelios and the sound effect provided by Ruthie Polinsky. Pick six, it's brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. How do you feel about the Cubs' Tokyo failures this morning? Were they simply swept by the best team in baseball over two games, or are they simply not an elite team? Did they give the NL Central hope?
I don't think I feel much better about it today than I did yesterday. I understand, everybody, that it's a long season. Everybody understands that I own a calendar, too. It's March 20th. The season started on March 18th. The hope is that you're still playing in October. And I said we may look back, and if they lose the division by a game or miss the playoffs by a game, you look back at March 18th. You can still have a long view of the season, maintain your perspective, not be irrational, and be very disappointed that the Cubs are returning home without a victory. Lots of souvenirs, lifelong memories. It was a terrific trip. We can all agree on that. They're 0-2. That stinks. I'm entitled to be ticked off about that even a day later. I don't like the fact that Matt Shaw was at the plate at the end of the game and Dansby Swanson's on deck, and why Gage Workman didn't get off the bench and didn't swing the bat. And I still don't know why you didn't use Matthew Boyd and why Jameson Taillon was on this special list. If you're going to use a couple pitchers, all these things are fair questions. It's baseball season. These games count. Second guessing's part of it. Doesn't mean it ruined my day, week, or month. I'll look back. Great. Great experience. But yeah, it's still a little miffed.
I'm a little less salty about it this morning than I was right after the game yesterday when we got to jump right at it. We recorded a episode of Fly the W podcast yesterday. My buddy Crawley kind of talked me off the ledge. But here's what really faces the Cubs is, can they somehow get through April and be a 500 baseball team? If you haven't looked, the April schedule is an absolute gauntlet. And we'll start, I know the season's going to start a week from today. Four games to start against the Diamondbacks, who are good, maybe the best starting pitching in all of baseball. Two with the A's, Padres, Rangers, Dodgers again, Padres, D-backs again, Dodgers again, Phillies, Pirates. If you can somehow get through that and on May 1 be 500, then they'll be okay. But if they're like six games under 500 come game one, I'm going to be back to very salty as I was after games one and two.
I wasn't really – I thought I had decent perspective yesterday. It is a very long season, and things will shift and change. It was disappointing. You really hoped that they would get the split, but, you know, that's a really good Dodgers team, and I think everyone knew it, and I think we all expected it was going to be difficult for them. I think they're an elite team. I think they can be an elite team. I think the problem is that when you start with losses, and again, it's because of who you're playing, but they didn't have all their players either. That was an opportunity to kind of take advantage of a chance, and they didn't quite get it done, and it's a long season. But I would say that you know, when you don't win initially and when you start slow, what happens is you do give everybody around you a little bit of hope. So I hope that they haven't made the division feel like they're not really going to be as good as we think they could be. I'm still sticking with my 90 or bust because I think that's the situation they're in. But, Dustin, you went down to 80. I think you had them at 102 at one point. Where are you at this morning?
That had to be the caffeine or lack of caffeine
never,
talking.
I never had them at 102. I did. I think I did say when we heard Pecota. Pecota was 92?
You said 92. I think you were at 92 at one point.
Yeah, and then I think I was down to 86. Then I was at 80. I think I'm 83 this morning. 83.
Okay. So
good night's sleep. Added three victories.
Yeah. Moving back up just takes time.
It's a wonderful question, one that I've been thinking about.
We'll ask Bruce a bunch of wonderful questions at 9 this morning. Which is greater, the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers or the one between the Cubs and the rest of the National League Central?
Well, if I had to pick between it, I would say it is the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have all the players in the world. They've got all of the really good players, and they've got all the good pitchers, and they've got a lot of really good things. And I think that that gap between them and the Cubs is probably wider than the gap between other teams in the division and the Cubs. And I don't mean that as an insult in any way. I just think the Dodgers are that good. You know, they're coming off a World Series, and you could argue they got better from one year to the next. So it's hard to sit here and say that, you know, there will be a team or two in the division that will be having good months. I'll say months. So I think the Cubs are the best team in the division, but I don't know that the gap is as wide as it is with the Dodgers versus the rest of baseball.
And it might, that's a great point, Molly. It's not just the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers. It's the Dodgers and the rest of baseball. I mean, they went out and got the most sought-after free agent pitcher. And then what did they follow that up with? The second most sought-after free agent pitcher to an already very good pitching staff. I mean, their fifth starter would be most teams' two, at least, at the very least, if not their ace. And there's still a question if the Cubs even have an ace. Now, the National League Central and the American League Central are the two worst divisions in all of baseball. Question is, maybe a future pick six question, which division is worse, right? Is the American League version or the National League version of the Central the worst of the two divisions?
AL Central or NL Central?
Right.
Oh, definitely NL Central.
Is worse than the AL Central.
Oh, yes.
Okay, well.
Yes.
The worst team in all Centrals is in the AL Central.
But look at the Tigers, Guardians, and Royals aren't messing around. They all have legitimate playoff goals. Okay. Yes, without a doubt. You can't name three playoff possibilities in the NL Central. That's a heap of kind of rebuilding teams. I think
good catch there.
Not have to catch anything.
A heap of rebuilding teams.
Heap of rebuilding teams that are struggling. And that's why the gap between the Cubs and the Dodgers is a lot wider than the one between the Cubs and the rest of their division, because the Cubs haven't really proven and earned the benefit of the doubt just yet.
Right.
They need to win the division and get back to the playoffs before that is removed. Dodgers won 98 games in a World Series and got better. You mentioned their pitching rotation. Ohtani, at some point, could be rejoining that rotation. The Cubs' ace, if they even have one, would be the Dodgers' fifth starter. You take, where would Imanaga be on the Dodgers' rotation? Justin Steele? He'd be the fifth starter, fourth or fifth starter. So the Dodgers just have so much talent that you can see them being easily a 100-plus win team, and that depending on how they treat September, planning for the playoffs and another World Series. And the Cubs have to worry about the Pirates being the upstart Pirates of Paul Skenes and company. They have to worry about what Terry Francona will do to the Reds and all that young talent. The Cardinals haven't really tried to win in the offseason, but there's the Cardinals. And then, oh, by the way, the Brewers will find a way to compete and be pesky because they're moving around their infield. So, yeah, if you're the Cubs, you need to worry about your business in the division and that how narrow that gap really is. And hope the next time they play the Dodgers, they're compromised even more. They did what they did to the Cubs without Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
Voice of Joe Fortenbaugh, pencil paper out and ready for your brackets and for your investments Thursday and Friday, 7:44. Joe will be here. What's your pick for the White Sox opening day shortstop? Who will get the most ABs there in 2025? Is it possible the answer isn't in camp yet?
Well, I think that last part, is that because of Nicky Lopez still being out there and being a guy that could join? I don't know if that is the answer. I don't know if the Sox have the answer to that question. That is anything but temporary right now. A lot of it feels very temporary. Chase Mydroth is the guy who came over from the Crochet deal that is promising but hasn't hit a ton in spring training, but he has played there the most. I suppose he's the answer to opening day. Jacob Amaya, boy, he's not hitting at all. Is he hitting his weight? Can he hit his weight? Is that going to be a new threshold for Sox infielders? Hit your weight. I don't think he's the guy that you necessarily look at as a long-term, certainly anything more than a Band-Aid. So I'll say Mydroth opening day, but I'm still going to hold out. I guess this is more hope than evidence or proof. Coastal Montgomery will have the most at-bats of any White Sox shortstop in 2025, even though, disappointingly, he will begin his season at Triple-A Charlotte.
So Chase will start opening day. I think that's where it's pointing. Is that a fair question? We've made a big deal about, right, and rightfully so, the opening day starter, who follows the opening day starter. Mm-hmm. Is that a valid question? Who's starting at shortstop, Skip? Like, is that something
of
Bruce
course.
Levine, you know, could ask without getting barked at by somebody from the White Sox? And if not now, when would you play Colson Montgomery? Again, once the clock hits the point where it's not hurting his contract and his future and all that business side of things. If Colson Montgomery's not playing over 35th and Shields this year, then something's probably wrong with Colson Montgomery.
I wish it was a business reason he was down there.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong with Colson Montgomery.
Right.
I do.
That's too bad then.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I do think there's something wrong, and I'm not sure that is going to happen. What's going on with Josh Rojas? Is he... He's got like a...
He could be coming back.
Yeah, but he's got like
he's got a little injury, though. But he's hurt.
But didn't they upgrade the injury from like a smaller thing to a bigger thing? I don't know. But that could be a guy that, you know, otherwise it would be Mydroth. And I guess, does that mean Lenin Sosa would start at
second
base?
Oh, boy, that's right. He's still there. Yeah, I guess Lenin Sosa might be your starting second baseman.
Yeah, I don't know. But you would think that they need to figure that out in the next week.
They got a week.
Yeah. I worry about Colson Montgomery. I worry about the lack of development or the kind of whatever wall he seems to have hit and the back issue and the whole bit. I'm not sure how that's going to work out. He had a real nice... little moment in kind of the Arizona Fall League, and that's all you can really say about him in the last two
years.
That's
it. The back spasms are back in terms of
And
Josh Rojas has not been ruled out for opening day. He does have a hairline fracture in his big toe.
Yeah, but that had been, he has like a little thing with his big toe, and then it became a hairline fracture. Like, it started out as sort of like a small that's an upgraded injury is what I'm saying. So that's worrisome because he's a guy that has played.
Those things don't typically get better.
No, they don't.
Hairline fractures and in your big toe.
It's the kind of thing that it's like they keep saying stuff like, well, it's just pain management.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if a lot of people have managed pain. It's not the NFL. And I don't know that that's easier said than done.
If you got a bad big toe, you can affect the rest of your day.
A bad big toe is a bad thing to have.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Not, I'm speaking from experience.
Molly, there's a ton to that question.
As the tournament action heats up, College Hoops coverage here on The Score brought to you by Bet365. Are you ready for the NCAA tournament to begin in earnest today? Don't have a favorite part of the bracket? Are there as many teams as you want to see as teams you're cheering for this year?
Yeah, I think that there are a limited number of teams that I'm actually kind of cheering for. It's just the way things have worked out. I'm not a huge SEC basketball guy. I love the part of the bracket. I love the idea that you got all these like old venerable coaches ready to kind of pounce on each other. I think that is super fun. And I think Rick Pitino is going to be the last man standing of that group because I somebody sent me the Rick Pitino thing where he goes off on his team about how you have to understand adversity.
Yeah, and it was great.
You don't shy away from
vintage
it.
Vintage Pitino.
It was just fantastic. I listened to it about five times. I might listen to it right before I watch the first game. Now that they're beginning in earnest.
Oh,
I know
yeah.
The tournament's already begun.
Mm-hmm.
But this is where it gets where you can just sink in, sit down, and absorb nothing but game after game of basketball.
Love it.
It's just one of the greatest days of the year, frankly. It's the opening of the NCAA tournament is one of the great sports weekends, period, end of story. And if you haven't taken the day off, come down with a little tickle in your throat or something, and you can still go home
now
and
you're
watch
talking.
Everything. I like that idea. Yeah, we have no reason not to work, and we enjoy working, so it's easy for us.
Go back to bed.
For the rest of you.
Keep the radio on.
There you go.
And Friday, another good reason to take off, Circa Sports Illinois and The Score. They'll get you ready for the tournament over at Real-Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's going to be Spiegel and Grody, 2-6. All the games, buckets of Miller Lite, Coors Light, Real-Time Sports, sponsored by Circus Sports Illinois, sports betting the way it should be. There are some great games today. There are some games that if you're filling out your bracket right now, I had a hard time trying to figure out where to go with some of these games. Today, it's just an awesome, you know, Kansas, Arkansas, Gonzaga, Georgia, BYU, VCU. Later on, there are quite a few people that love Drake against Missouri.
Love Drake.
You know, UC San Diego, Michigan
love the
is
Drake.
Supposed to be a really good game. And the West is the toughest part. If this plays to any kind of form,
mm-hmm. It won't.
If it does, you possibly have Florida, Maryland, Texas Tech, St. John's. In your elite,
yeah.
You know, in that part of it, right? And that's really tough.
That's really tough.
That's really tough. Wow. I have my champion coming out of the West in Florida. But
Chuck.
Who's the guy who has two twos and two ones
okay.
is going to tell another guy he's got too much chuckity,
wow.
chuck.
I love this question.
How about Rock Chalk Jayhawk? They play later today.
Yeah, that's right. Bill Self,
uh-huh.
Back in action. We'll have to issue a statement after this one. Love this question because it's all emotion today. The tournament is all about heart over head, right? So you have some teams you really want to see succeed. For me, Duke, John Shire, all right? Akron, upset, John Gross. I like the coaches. Michigan State, Izzo. Who doesn't love Izzo in March? Purdue, Matt Painter, one of the few coaches out there still developing talent at a high level at a major college. Good for him. And then the Drew factor. Scott and Bryce, Baylor, playing Mississippi State, Bryce with Grand Canyon U. I got to look for those guys. Now, the teams I would like to see struggle and maybe get upset and ousted maybe in the first round, and you see them maybe like, oh, what happened? Bruce Pearl and Auburn. See ya. Bye. I know that won't happen, but I'd like to see it. UConn and Danley Hurley, stop crying. Go Porter Moser. There's not a bigger Oklahoma fan this weekend than me in Chicago. UCLA, I just enough of that coach. They're in the Big Ten.
Wow.
And then I still think Houston's going to go a long way, and it's still going to make me a little cringy. Kelvin Sampson has obviously earned the respect that he enjoys at the college basketball level. He's an elite coach. I give him a lot of credit, but something about him just still kind of rubs me the wrong way.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you think of the Bulls' effort against the Suns last night? Is a backcourt of Kobe White and Trey Jones the best the Bulls have had this season? Wow.
Well, look at the possibilities. I mean, it's really, isn't that hard to believe? Trey Jones,
something special.
Last night aside, I mean, he was playing against his brother, and that was kind of a cool thing. It was the second time he played against him in a Bulls uniform this year. The Suns have been an opponent twice in the last month. Trey Jones plays it with pace. He does everything that Billy Donovan asked him to do. He's got a high basketball IQ. I could see them wanting to keep him in free agency. Might be too expensive. Who else? Who are they going to get rid of?
Should they have extended him rather than Lonzo Ball?
Might have been a better use of your money, honestly. I hate to say that. I like Lonzo Ball in terms of what he not brings available to the table, but it's availability. And Trey Jones shows up. And Trey Jones and Kobe White do play pretty well together, because Trey Jones is your true prototypical attack, penetrate, dish point guard. Kobe White is your spot-up two-guard shooting guy. So Lonzo Ball, I don't know how he fits if he comes back this year. Trey Jones has kind of claimed that spot. Io's hurt. He's coming back. You can't have room for everybody. The Bulls have a backlog in the backcourt. But I like everything that Trey Jones has done since he came over at the trade deadline. And last night against the Suns, they just didn't have it. The Suns were playing at home. Booker was the guy. And, you know,
They lost well.
They've got a blue, you know, the Suns have multiple blue chip players.
Yeah.
I mean, and Devin Booker's included, and he scored 41 last night. But David, I mean, so did you answer the question directly?
No.
Is this the best backcourt the Bulls have had this year?
I would say no.
Who would be the best Bulls backcourt they've had this year?
Josh Giddey is part of that.
Yeah, I think Josh Giddey.
But Josh Giddey. Your guy, Max LaVine, he's a guard.
Yeah.
He's a shooting guard.
I would say Kobe and Zach.
Kobe and Zach would be the best. Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make
Kobe
sure
and Zach. I'm sorry. You're right. I did not. I skirted around the question.
Max LaVine train.
It's okay.
I skirted around it.
You like to dodge.
I think Kobe White
and Duke. Josh Giddey are the best version of the Bulls backcourt this year.
That's more love for Giddey than you've given in the past.
That's a first.
Hey, I'm pro Aussie.
Yeah, he's honoring his family on the way.
That's right.
Right?
You got cousins coming. My two cousins from Australia are coming in to spend a month in the States.
It would be insane for you to take them to Vito's if you've never been there yourself. You should make sure you like it before you take someone to someplace.
Well, I'm going to say if it doesn't go well, I'm going to blame you. And if it goes well, I'm going to credit you.
That's why I feel right there.
Extra pressure.
No, I feel like you would definitely blame me. I doubt you would credit me. I think that Giddey would be in the best backcourt they've had this year. He would be. He's been very good. He was very good for a while there. I also think Kobe has been very good in the backcourt this year. I don't know that the two of them together are the backcourt I would name, though. And that's a problem, because moving forward, those are two guys that you probably want to have on your team. Trey Jones has been real good. He's been much better than I expected. And, you know, I'm still kind of trying to figure out the whole Lonzo Ball thing and what they were thinking and why they wanted to do that and what that means moving forward. And it's just something that will need more time and more contemplation, especially, as you say, as they have to move out guys because they've got so many guards on this roster. So something to think about.
Let's make a deal.
I have really enjoyed when Trey Jones has played. It's interesting to hear Billy say things like, you know, he's got a quality to him.
I know, the it factor.
That's a guy who knows what that looks like.
Yes.
So I take that as like a real compliment.
Let's face it, on a playoff team, Trey Jones is your perfect backup point guard.
Right, right.
He's a guy that would come in, change the pace a little bit, do the right things, and not hurt you by protecting the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can play that role on a Bulls team that is a legit playoff team, I could see keeping him or making a bid for him. If not, he might be too expensive.
Yeah, but I've come around completely on Josh Giddey, so I would include him.
Welcome.
In that. Yeah. Well, I mean, he had to perform, and he did.
And he,
so
yeah.
Don't blame me.
I'm not blaming you.
Don't act like I was late to the party. He was. All right.
He was kind of late.
You were on the party before it began.
Good on you, mate.
Let's get to the extra point. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Should Illinois be happy with its opponent after the play-in round? Xavier coming all the way back to beat Texas. How far can this Illini team go? How far will it go?
I think it was a tough draw either way because both teams are talented, and that's not necessarily the first-round opponent you were looking for if you're Brad Underwood. But I do feel like Xavier is coming in with a lot of momentum, and that would scare you a little bit. They've got one of those teams that, you know, with the guy with Fremantle playing, having one of those types of seasons, and he's in his sixth year. He's one of those guys that is just, you wonder about a team. Sean Miller, he's been everywhere. He's always around a tournament victory in March. Yeah. You just don't feel great if you're an Illinois fan. And yet you look at your team, and you have reason to feel confident because they have gotten to this point with a whole new collection of players that they had last year when they went deep in March. So it's really one of the harder teams, as you have said, Mully, to figure out in this tournament field. I do think they win the first round game. I'm glad it's the last one on Friday. You can watch it Friday night, and if you can stay up that long, but I think it's going to be worth staying up for. I don't see them getting past Kentucky. I think that is where it probably will end, even though as talented as they are, as well coached as they can be and look, and as hard as they can play defensively, and I do love the Yakishonis. I love the freshman. You can see them making a run, but I don't see them getting by the Wildcats.
My hope is that Xavier left it all at UD Arena last night. They basically had a home game. They're about 30, 40 minutes their school away from Dayton University. Kentucky, the last two times, they've been a second or a three seed. So in 2022, they were a two seed. They lost to Cinderella St. Peter's. Remember that team from
sure.
New York that
yep.
went on that run? They lost to them in
Jesuit.
Overtime.
They're from New Jersey.
Yeah, 85-79. Then the last time they were a three seed, remember, and this was, I think, one of David's favorite guys to ever play in the tournament. It looked like he was about 43. They lost to Oakland. Remember that kid who hit all those threes? I think they made it to the Elite Eight.
Last year?
Yeah.
Oakland, yeah, because he's in the Pistons G League team.
Right, he'd be like the best player in a men's league ever. He was just like raining threes. But they lost in their opening round 80-76 to Oakland, who was a 14 seed. So this is another four. So my point is that the last couple of times Kentucky has been highly touted, they have fallen.
Jack Gelke.
Yeah.
Remember Motor City Cruise. He's playing for the Motor City Cruise.
Yeah, he had like the receding hairline.
Yeah.
And it was just jacking threes all over the place. So now, while I do expect Kentucky to beat Troy.
He was Gelkeying threes from all over the place.
I'm hoping that Illinois can beat a tired Xavier team,
mm-hmm.
upset Kentucky, but then I have them losing to Tennessee next weekend.
Okay.
So I think they get to number two seed, and I think those games are in Indy, right? I think right. So if Illinois can get out of Milwaukee, they would then go to Indy.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really tough question. I think Illinois should handle Xavier. I really do, but you're right. You know, this is not a 16 seed. This is an 11 seed. This is not like. They beat anybody. Texas has some chops themselves. And they came back in that game and they won that game. And you're right, Dustin. Maybe they've exerted a lot of energy, and maybe they're tired in game two, but I think David could be right. They could have some big mo. The problem that I'm having is that I am not quite sure about Illinois. I've watched them play quite a bit, and there are times when I feel like they're going to make a really deep tournament run, and then there are times when I feel like, man, they'll be lucky to get out of the first round. I just think they, more so than any team in the field, might be the most difficult one I'm having a problem with. I am utterly confounded by what to think they're going to do. I think that, you know, they had a great run last year, and that was, you know, based on they got a really hot player at the right time, and they did very well as a result. I don't know that I really want the state school to do well. My son goes to the U of I, and my best friend went to the U of I, and I want all of them to have this moment in the tournament. I just don't know that they're going to have it, and it's confounding to me. I keep answering questions about, well, what's going to happen with the U of I? And it really is the one school out of all this. I think you feel real strongly about some team. Oh, yeah, they're going to make the run. They're going to be good. You know, they're going to surprise some people. And that, oh, you know, I love what Drake's done. They got all these Division II champions. They're going to make a run. I don't have the same gut feeling about the U of I because I don't know which team they have. I'm not quite sure what to expect from them. And you're right, that freshman is a hell of a player. And they've got a couple of really good players. And it wouldn't stun me if they were a Sweet 16 team. It wouldn't stun me if they were better than that. And it would not stun me if they were out.
Tomorrow night?
Yes. I don't think they're going out tomorrow. I have them losing to Tennessee. I think Dustin and I are similar in some of our picks.
Okay.
And that
you got them beating Kentucky then.
Then I did.
So you're telling your family members and your close friends to get their orange out because it's going to be a fun week.
I think Kentucky's one of those teams that I need to have lose. And I
just say it. Just say you don't like them
to lose.
You don't like Kentucky.
No, I won't say that. I will say that they're one of the teams. I think that there are like four teams in the SEC that really scare me, and I'm looking for spots where they can lose.
I can't be the only one in this panel who is rooting for teams to lose.
I'm rooting for teams to lose, just not any of those that you
tell
mentioned.
Me which ones you are.
St. St. John's.
Really?
I think they're doing it the kind of the old way they used to do it and didn't get caught. Molly, did you see this story? I thought of you when I read this story. Do either one of you know who the guy behind the St. John's NIL is?
No.
So it's a St. John's alum. He's a big horse racing guy. I believe he's the guy who had Vitamin Water and sold it to like Coke or Pepsi. He wins all Mike, you know, Mikey from Long Island, or you know, if you saw the guy, you'd know him in a second. He is the billionaire supporting, basically paying for St. John's resurgence. And again, I'm not against
including
that guy.
Rick Pitino?
Including Rick Pitino. I'm not against that guy. I'm just not the biggest Rick Pitino fan.
Okay. It's fair. You're talking about Mike Rapole?
Mike Rapole.
Yeah.
Okay. And I also have Florida winning the whole thing, so they've got to probably beat St. John's to do that. So
I have them beating St. John's.
Right. So I'm rooting against that. Right.
Fair enough. Asked and answered. Thank you. I didn't want to be the only one rooting for teams to lose. Now you gave me a good reason.
There's teams I'm rooting for them to lose. I'd have to go through my bracket to tell you exactly.
Well, let's refresh our bracket when we come back.
Okay.
I want to know your final four.
Yeah. I'd love that. It sounds good. You're going to redo your final four?
No, finally. I'm going to remind or refresh.
Oh.
Give you a chance to change.
Yeah, I'm not changing.
And rethink.
It's Mully and Haw. We've got that on the plate next, and we'll do it on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw flashback.
Flashback. Flashback. Flashback.
What's the best thing about being in the tournament? What do you like most about it?
You know, you're talking to an old school guy who one, I love Selection Sunday. Mm-hmm. I love the music that they play on CBS. it's basketball. It makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Yeah, that's a good answer. You gotta love the music. connected to the tournament, and we'll be hearing it today, Mr. Davis.
All day long. Yep. All day long, beginning at 11:15, Creighton and Louisville. Creighton and Louisville. And I think
who do you like there?
It's a nice 9-8 game to get things started. Good. Who do I like there? I think good I have game. Creighton. I like the McDermotts. I like the Blue Jays. I like you. The nickname. Because Creighton, from the Big East, had quite a year. And I think they're not to be messed with.
Louisville, 27-7, my friend. That's a pretty good year, too.
Yeah, that's a pretty good year, too. That seems like it's a rebuilding year down there. But that's going to be the first game. Purdue and High Point, 11:40. I think some of us thought that, I don't want to speak for all of us, but.
Upset special.
That's what you called.
Number 13.
You going with that?
High Point.
High Point.
You know what's interesting is I liked High Point as an upset, but then when I was going over it with my daughter, I gave her Purdue.
I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah.
Matt Painter
yep.
has learned his lesson about the tournament. Last year made a deep run. Matt, there's no way they're getting upset today.
Seth Davis on the selection show Sunday did call for a High Point upset of Purdue, for what it's worth.
Yeah.
That was right away for that.
But Purdue had a couple losses at the end of the year, right? Lost in the tournament.
Strong guard play. I mean, they should at least get through High Point. If Purdue loses to High Point.
How many in a row has High Point won? They've won some games now.
They're playing.
Like, I'm just saying.
See, but that's the thing about.
They got a little roll.
It doesn't logically fit, and there's nothing logical about the first round. Not because they're High Point, but I don't think they're going to reach the pinnacle today. Mm-hmm. What they're going to do is lose.
29-5.
We can't, on one hand, say that this tournament is all about guard play, and then ignore the fact that Braden Smith is an All-American guard for Purdue who stepped forward in Zach Edey's absence and became a player I don't think anybody expected him to be.
Really good player.
I mean, really good player. I mean,
if they make a little run, they're going to kind of live and die based on him.
Isn't he the kind of guy, the kind of guard that you look at? And that's the reason you pick teams to win in the tournament.
And frankly, it's a game that doesn't mean much to me.
Yeah.
Because they are going to play the winner of Clemson, McNeese, probably Clemson. And then the winner of
that
game.
Oh, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah,
let's talk about that for a second.
Story.
Will Wade takes a job with North Carolina State.
Yep.
And he's still going to coach McNeese State? Is it?
Well, if you're a North Carolina State fan, though, how many guys on the McNeese State team are going to follow him to NC State?
That's not the first question I would ask.
That's a good question.
A good question.
In this day and age.
It's a good question.
That's why I'm saying
that's
it right
a good
now.
Question.
It's a good
in this
question.
Day and age.
We'll get to. There's another offshoot of that, but down in Bloomington, which they're addressing with the West Virginia conundrum. But I want to stay with Will Wade for a second. That's a good question. But if you are McNeese, are you letting this guy coach?
Well, if you're letting him coach, then you're telling those players, "Hey, go with him."
I think you're telling them you're giving them license to do that. But you're stuck. This is like a very strange move. I know it happens all the time, but not as overt as this.
But I think if you're McNeese, you understand that you can't stop a guy from upgrading in that fashion.
Okay.
Going to a school.
But you can't stop a guy.
Like that for the money he's going to get,
et cetera. You can't stop a guy from disturbing the momentum of one of your best seasons in recent memory.
You would hope.
You
ruined
it.
You'd wait till the tournament game was over.
Will Wade.
Let me just get knocked out of the tournament. I'll be happy to do it. It's kind of.
Will Wade.
That's tough.
Yes, he will, apparently.
Yeah.
So LSU to McNeese, and now McNeese to NC State.
LSU, he got in trouble. LSU,
yes,
he was handing the cookie jar back when there were rules to be broken. And he broke all of them, apparently. And he bragged about it. Now he's going to NC State, which fired their coach a year after getting
to the Final Four. NC State last year?
Yes. They're going to raise a banner, and the guy's name's going to be on it. And now one year later, he's gone.
Got an extension. You mean talk about a buyout.
But. I was just going to say that they're in the same bracket as Houston. I got Houston going to the Final Four.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it doesn't.
So it's a moot point.
That's what I'm saying. Eventually, I will have Houston winning. So, and there's no going past that for me. And I got them beating Tennessee.
All right. That's a good. All right. We'll get to the rest of our brackets because there's some other thoughts along the way. The West Virginia thing, too, is kind of crazy because their coach leaves for Bloomington and he's taking his son with him.
Well, of course he is. He took his son from Drake.
I know he's taking his son with him, but now there's some questions about
him.
Tucker DeVries is going to be an all Big Ten player.
He will be.
He's a hell of a basketball player.
Did they keep him out of the West Virginia games because they knew this was coming down the road?
No, he was hurt.
And they didn't bring him back.
He got legitimately injured.
We'll talk about it. We got a break.
312-644-6767. Here's the man from Indiana saying that the new Indiana coach was protecting his kid so he could transfer with him. Come on, man. Boy, does that hurt. Mully and Haw on the score.